Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Residents across the Midwest are struggling with tight propane supplies, especially in this bitter cold, snowy winter. But it's not just homes that lack adequate access to heating energy. Harvest Public Media's Peter Gray reports on the recent fuel shortage and how it's hitting farms that put bacon and eggs on your plate in the morning.
Phil Borjick's livelihood depends on healthy hogs, and when Arctic winds whip against the walls of his barns where hundreds of tiny piglets spend their first days, it means burning a lot of propane.
And so if it gets below 73.5 degrees, the heater kicks on. If it gets above the 73.5 degrees, then my fans kick on. It keeps that room within a very narrow range of temperature.
Borjick burns liquid propane, LP, from September through May to support his young pigs. His farrowing barn in Nokomis, Illinois, between Springfield and St. Louis, goes through about two semi-truckloads of LP each year. He buys as much as he can in the summer when demand and price are lowest.
And so we'll go into the winter then with our tanks full. But because this winter has been so cold, I'm done with my contract at LP.
Borjick paid under $2 per gallon last summer, but he's now looking at prices closer to $5, thanks to supply hiccups around the nation. Each month, Borjick delivers hogs to meatpacking giant Smithfield Foods, owner of Farmland brand bacon. In his business, you can't tack on your fuel costs, even if they more than double.
The marketplace sets it or we're under contract, deliver for a certain price. So it comes off my bottom line. My gross doesn't change, just my expenses are going up.
It's not just pork producers who rely heavily on propane. Poultry farmers in the Midwest are struggling too. Steve Olson is with the Chicken and Egg Association of Minnesota.
We haven't heard of any losses yet, but one thing that does happen is that if the birds get cold, they get more stressed, and stress can lower their immune system and bring on the potential for disease.
Many propane dealers have been forced to ration customers, only filling some of their tanks to make sure others don't run out completely. The polar vortex is partly to blame for the propane shortage, but so is the cold and wet harvest season last fall. It's hard to store wet grain, so elevators often fire up propane heaters before shipping. Here's University of Illinois Extension Specialist Russell Higgins.
The crop just simply did not dry, and part of that is because it was late planted. We just didn't have the weather to dry that grain any further.
And with states from Oklahoma to Maine extending emergency declarations for heating fuel, Higgins doesn't see the propane pinch easing anytime soon.
Looking at the forecast, and we had a nice 15 degrees below zero morning this morning. The demand is certainly going to stay there.
In his farrowing barn in central Illinois, farmer Phil Borjick adjusts heat lamps suspended over squealing piles of week-old piglets. Borjick is closely watching the price of propane. He knows that before May, he'll have to dip into his reserve fund to keep his little hogs warm, as he puts it.
Suck it up and write the check. There's really, you just have to cut somewhere else because you've got to have it. It's not something that's an option.
Borjick says he'll have to put off repairs on the farm or make other adjustments to weather what he calls the perfect storm that's driven propane prices up 300% since he last filled his tank. Peter Gray, Harvest Public Media.
Ever since the mid-1800s, roots from Missouri grapes have been grafted onto European vines for the natural resistance to pests. As Adam Allington reports, the wine industry is focusing on Missouri grapes once again. However, this time, it's because of their genetics and potential to withstand the effects of climate change.
A recent study predicts over the next 50 years, climate change could phase out as much as 70% of the world's current vineyards. That's according to the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. As you can imagine, that would have huge implications for wine, as well as a whole slew of other agricultural products. It's a situation that's concerned this man for years.
My name is László Kovács, and I am from Hungary originally.
Kovács is a biologist at Missouri State University in Springfield, specializing in grape genetics. It turns out that Missouri has played a key role in the past and present of global viticulture.
Missouri has a very large and very rich, very diverse wild grapevine population. And these grapevines have already been used for the past 150 years
Back in the 1800s, Missouri's grapevines were sent to France because of the resistance to a pest called the phylloxera aphid. These days, there's renewed interest in native species because of other adaptations to factors such as drought.
Life wants to conquer any possible living space. And for example, we have a grape species called the rock grape, appropriately named, because it grows on gravel bars around rivers that are very, very dry, sun-baked areas. Virtually no other plant can survive.
But does that mean that soon we'll all be drinking wine made from the plucky rock grape?
No, that I never had wine, and probably nobody would, because you would characterize it as undrinkable.
Allison Miller is a biologist working with St. Louis University's Center for Sustainability, and the vines she's showing me aren't from France or Australia. They're from right here in Missouri.
We have our vineyard, our research vineyard, divided into two sets of vines.
On the table in front of us are several dozen tiny vines representing two native species of Missouri grapes.
These two species are adapted to different environments in nature. So one group of our grapevines will receive a drought treatment, and the other one will serve as a control. And what we're interested in is differences in gene expression.
Miller says each species will be subject to drought and control treatments, which will then help identify so-called genetic markers, potentially making it possible to then breed those traits into other grapes. And she says it makes sense to conduct the study in a place like St. Louis.
Many urban areas are thought to act as what are called urban heat islands, which means that they retain and are hotter relative to surrounding areas. And the thought is that that urban heat island may mimic some of the situations predicted under future climates.
In a few weeks, these vines will be planted outside at the Missouri Botanical Garden, where workers are busy installing trellises. Miller's partnering with MoBOT to test the vines at various temperatures and conditions throughout the summer. But even if some of our current vineyards do disappear, it doesn't necessarily mean the death of the wine industry.
You know, I would say that climate change is slower than trends in wine drinking.
Corey Bumgars is the head of winemaking operations at Les Bourgeois Vineyards outside Columbia. He says winemakers are used to phasing out certain species and growing grapes in new locations.
You know, traditional Napa Cab might not be the same as it was 20 years ago.
Whether or not you feel that fact is a cause for celebration is a matter of taste, but native species will likely be a key factor in determining what kind of wine we drink and where we get it. I'm Adam Allington in St. Louis.
And that's all for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.